Yeah, I think mainly on my mother's side.
Okay.
There was some of her kin in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I knew a lot of friends here in Copeland, you know, that served in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I don't know what, I feel fortunate that I got home and...
When you were in the Army, in the infantry, were there religious services available? I mean, could you go to church, for example, or were there a chaplain? Or?
Oh, we had a chaplain, yes. Uh-huh. You could talk to him.
Okay.
We didn't have services, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't do that.
And when you were moving through France and into Germany, did you know what was going on in the war, or did you just know that you were being told to do this?
Well, we just knew what we was doing, really.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you'd hear stories about things somewhere else, but I don't know what we was here.
Well. But you would hear it by word of mouth, yeah, because you didn't have radio, did you?
Uh-uh.
Or newspapers wouldn't reach you?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No.
I suppose no. You could hear in letters from home, maybe.
No, and but when we was on the move, we wasn't getting mail.
Mm-hmm.
The only time we got mail was after we had stopped and the war was over.
Did that seem like a long time?
Well... You mean the whole service?
No, just when you were...
In the war?
Yeah, when you were really fighting.
Yeah. Well, I got over there at the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
About the time of the Battle of the Bulge.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get involved in it, which was a fortunate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know, we just, we sat there on the Rhine River, I think, for probably a week, waiting for all the rest of the Army to get up there before we crossed over.
Mm-hmm. And while you were just waiting, did you just sit around and...
Yeah, mainly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was in the winter, so it was cold?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd get cold over there, and snow.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, we just, what all we did do.
Did you play cards?
Yeah.
Did most of the people smoke?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Army give you cigarettes.
Oh. Okay.
But I guess they wanted you to smoke.
Maybe they thought that would relieve stress or something.
Yeah, we got our cigarettes free.
They
were worth money after the war was over. Boy, the other German people wanted them cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. So you could sell them on the street?
Yeah, if you wanted to, or trade them.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Same way with gasoline and anything that had some value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know that I traded my cigarettes off.
Were they non-filtered cigarettes? They were, because filters weren't available yet.
Uh-uh. Yeah, they give us cigarettes all the time. Yeah, you could trade cigarettes for about anything.
Mm-hmm. Would you trade it for food?
No.
No, because you had sufficient food?
Mm-hmm.
When you would go into those towns and move the German civilians out so you could stay in their homes, was there food available that way, or did they not have much food?
Yeah, when we got to the Elbe River, we found cured meat up in the attic of this house I was in. They wanted to take that with them, but we didn't let them.
Because you wanted it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had some cattle out there in the barn, and we proceeded to butcher one of them, so...
Oh. Who knew how to butcher?
Yeah. So we butchered a cow, and we had one guy, a sergeant in our outfit, that liked pigeons, squab. mm-hmm. and there happened to be a lot of pigeons. Boy, he had all the swabby one day.
This was after having K rations or C rations for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you moved in and you just said to the German people, you have to get out, did they resist in any way?
No. Uh-uh.
They really couldn't?
They couldn't, mm-hmm. really.
Did you have to take German soldiers prisoners as you moved?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we had the prisoners, a whole bunch of them one time, and we built a, what you call a PW cage,
mm-hmm.
prisoner cage. We had them build this thing, and then we put them in it.
And they built it out of wood, or?
Oh, yeah, posts and wire.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happened to them? They just stayed there until
No, they just, somebody behind us then took care of it. I think they took them to a bigger camp.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I drove a Jeep for a lieutenant that was in charge of a PW cage at one time. And I noticed that there was one of the prisoners in there had a great big dent in his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, a Russian officer just put a pistol against his head and pulled the trigger.
Oh, my.
Didn't kill him. It was too close. Mm-hmm. Didn't penetrate.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What, looking back, what do you think of all those experiences?
Well, I don't think we were near as bad off as what's going on over there now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that a bit. I'll be over there for nothing but 5 years, you can't tell.
I know.
And that country's got so many religions in it that they always have fought amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it's, I don't know. It's, kind of hard to say what to. We done our job we was told to do, and
mm-hmm.
you know, at times you didn't really want to do it, but you had to.
Mm-hmm. When you look back at that experience, do you think it changed you? Was it significant in your life?
Well, we had lots of discipline,
mm-hmm.
even in basic training. And a lot of the kids, you know, when they grow up, they don't have a lot of discipline in their life. But you learn to do what you're told.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot in Europe, a lot of different countries. And I don't know, it's just amazing what them Germans thought they could whip the whole damn world.
Mm-hmm.
And we've helped France and them countries out of two wars, World War One and Two, and
mm-hmm.
and now we're over there, we got our nose in other people's business up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pay for it if we don't keep messing around.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are getting tired of us telling them what to do.
Yeah, that's. I think you're right there. Yeah. Well, is there any other particular story or thing that happened that you would like to have on the tape? Because, you know, students, young people, might be reading these in years to come, or historians might be using this information. If you could capture something that you think is necessary that people know or to think about, can you think of anything?
No. It's amazing when I got to La Havre getting ready to ship home that they had a streamlined train there. I rode into Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they had it hid, but it was a streamlined train.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing the highway that Germany had, the Autobahn, the four-lane concrete highway all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And but they blowed up a lot of their nice bridges trying to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of rock work and stuff in their bridges, and it's a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they said that, you know, one thing you have, if you have to give Hitler credit for anything, is that he did build that Autobahn. It opened, yeah, I believe, in 1933.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And got the trains going on time.
He had the kids believing in him, too. I mean, young kids.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we run into some of that you couldn't believe them young kids that he had brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the Buchenwald concentration camp.
Oh.
And they had 6 furnaces there. I took pictures of them. And they had meat hooks on the wall where they hung these people before they got them cremated. And their beds were made out of wood, and there wasn't hardly enough room between the beds to even crawl in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they slept on wood.
Mm-hmm.
And those people were just skin and bones. Mm-hmm. The people that was left there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they think, how many people did Germany put to death?
They say 6 million.
Yeah, I think they're thinking more than that. But
I think 6 million Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they'd run them in a big building or something and gas them. And
mm-hmm. So did you go through that right after?
No, it was during the war when I went through the Buchenwald concentration camp.
But it had already been liberated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think when
you just can't imagine what one person can do to another person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Japs are about as bad.
Mm-hmm. I went through Auschwitz, just like 10 years ago, and it made me cry, and that was, you know, so many, but you were there, and it was an immediate thing. I can't imagine how that felt.
Yeah, I took pictures of those furnaces and stuff, and you can't imagine. Well, they'd strip these people down and put them in a building and then just kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody had to take all them people out of there and bury them.
Mm-hmm.
So it just wasn't a few people that done all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that you were close to where the Nuremberg trials were.
Yeah.
After the war.
But I didn't get to see much of that. We were just kind of on guard duty there for a while.
Mm-hmm. But you knew they were going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was after the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know how many people they even tried now. There's a lot of them that should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, anything else that you can think that you want to talk about? While you're thinking, let me go through and see that I've covered most of these questions. What did your wife think when you were drafted?
Well, of course, she didn't like it. We had a good life out there and had a good job. And my aunt lived in North Platte, and we just felt like she'd be better off living there mm-hmm. with her aunt, my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And her folks lived in eastern Colorado.
Okay.
So it wasn't very far.
Right.
And so I don't know. She came down there to see me once when I was in training.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was at Holyoke when I got out of the service over there living with her folks on a farm. And I stayed there for about a year thinking possibly I could help on her dad farm.
Mm-hmm.
Might get into farming up there, but it didn't work out, so mm-hmm. I came back down here and helped my dad.
Well, when you were in the Army, do you remember how much pay you received?
Mm-hmm. Our pay was $50, and my wife got about 30 of that.
Okay.
She got a portion of it. I don't remember the exact figure.
Mm-hmm. And how did that compare to what you had been making when you were at Lockheed?
That was per month, $20.
Okay.
I was making $300 when I went into service. "Hey, come in. Huh?"
Okay, I just have one other question. When you came home then and decided what you were going to do, it took you some time. Did you talk about your war experience?
Or to the family?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not really, I don't think. I don't think any of the guys done that.
Did your family even ask you? Did they...
Oh, I suppose they did, but you just kind of skip over it. And
okay.
A lot of the fellows had it a lot tougher than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty lucky.
Okay.
Oh, dodged a few bullets and stuff like that, but...
Well, I'm sure you did.
Not near as much as some of the guys did. And, I don't know. I feel real fortunate that I didn't get hurt or nothing. Well, that plane wreck my brother and I was in, the only injury I had. And,
mm-hmm.
and that was our fault. Yeah. Oh, we've seen a lot of bad things over there. But
do those memories stick with you and pop up every now and then?
No, not really.
Okay.
Somebody brings them up or something, but they're always doing something for the veterans, and well, of course you get thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay, can you think of anything else that you want to say? You want recorded?
About myself, huh?
Anything.
No, I've seen a lot of country. And I got to ride the Queen Mary across the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Took us 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of country in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I even went to Switzerland.
Did you ever go back to Europe?
No.
No? Didn't want to?
No. Then I flew back. That was a bonus. Otherwise, I'd have been 3 weeks on another old boat.
Mm-hmm.
I was really lucky, just in a lot of ways.
Okay. All right. I'm going to stop this then.